Hello there, BillWhittle.com members and non-members alike. This once exclusive content has been released to the whole wide world for reasons that are probably a mystery to anyone still watching. I'm Steve Green with Bill Whittle and
members.
Scott Ott, and this is your lightning round, where instead of diving deep into one issue, I secretly select headline stories for Bill and Scott and then surprise them with them so that you get their very hottest take. So without further ado, let's jump in. And my notes say we're starting with Scott this week. Oh, I like this story. Marxist BLM founder Patrice Cullors has amassed a real estate mini empire of four homes, including a just purchased $1.4 million estate in an exclusive and predominantly white neighborhood. Scott, this brings me to an observation, and this, I think, is the fatal flaw of capitalism. This is our Achilles heel. And you know what it is? Capitalism is so damn good, it can even make Marxists rich. Does that sound right to you?
Well, as they would say these days, if an individual is able to purchase four homes as investments, good for them. Because I'm not sure if Patrice, if I could say him or her, so I'm just going to say them. Good for them. You know, and actually, this kind of gets on a little tirade that I've been thinking a lot about lately, especially when you hear politicians talking about income inequality and how, you know, the president and his party are going to help the middle class and help more people get into the middle class. Well, you know, in reality, the middle class is a recipe for large amounts of consumer debt and retirement on basic subsistence money. And if the party that cares about the so-called middle class really wanted to do something, they'd do what Patrice did. They'd go out and invest in real estate. They'd buy investment properties and rent them out and hold them until they appreciated in value and take advantage of the great tax benefits of owning investment property, not your own home, but actual investment property. So I have nothing but praise for Patrice and this idea that she, you know, caught on and said, hey, let's get a house and then let's get another house and let's get another house and parlay that into an eventual real estate fortune. I don't think we should criticize people like this, even though I think she's a tremendous hypocrite. I think we should praise them to the rafters. And I think the president of the United States should get up and he should bring in the best real estate investors in the country and say, ladies and gentlemen, you want to get out of the middle class and move into that, you know, the top percent that we hate? How would you like to be one of those people that we hate so you didn't have to hate them anymore? You could just be one of them. How would you like to be wealthy? Here's how you do it. Our tax system is not crafted to benefit you. It's not crafted to benefit people who trade time for money. It's crafted to benefit people who have found ways to make money earn money. Here's how you do it. So, Patrice, maybe you should create a video where you could teach the rest of us how to do that.
And you know what? She might even end up making more money than she is right now, where she has repackaged, you know, almost 200-year-old Marxist tripe as as shiny new stuff and gets all the woke dollars for it. What are you going to do?
Good for her.
Bill, moving on to you. Celebrity medical spokesmodel Anthony Dr. Fauci says, no, it's still not okay for vaccinated people to eat indoors in restaurants. Has Fauci become effectively the biggest, most effective anti-vaxxer ever?
Yes. What's the point? Why the rush to be vaccinated if vaccination brings you no advantages? I thought a couple of days ago we might have passed peak California, although I've learned the hard way that there's no such thing, that whenever you think you've hit the bottom, they will find a way to keep digging. But last week there was an announcement saying that all California restrictions, COVID-19 restrictions, will be lifted on June 15th, a mere 5 or 6 months after the rest of the country. And in the next sentence, after it says that all COVID restrictions will be lifted, the next sentence says, however, social distancing and mask wearing will continue to be mandated until further notice. So, which one is it? You know, there is so much that people have learned from this last year. And the first one for me is really, don't trust anybody who's an official expert because they're testimony is going to be compromised by politics. And the second thing I've learned is don't trust any experts that begin with the letter F. And then I have further learned that you should have even less trust for any experts whose last names begin with the letter F followed by the letter A, and so on and so on and so on. And you can narrow this down to one individual who apparently was a big believer in this idea of enhanced function and finding ways to make viruses that normally wouldn't infect the human population suddenly infect them. And, you know, this is kind of like putting Al Capone in charge of the Prohibition Enforcement Bureau of the FBI. It's just a joke. It's a joke. And it's a joke that's going to cost us, Steve. If we ever run into a serious health problem, you know, something with a more than a, you know, 99.98% survival rate, who's going to believe these people after all of these reversals on masks and vaccines and so on and so on and so on? And why is it that there's every single day is stories about, oh, there's a new strain that might be resistant to the vaccine. You got to keep locked down. You know, you got to keep this fear going. All we have left is fear itself.
Yeah, that is no way to live. Locked down and scared of your own shadow. Scott, let's go to you. I love this one. So there is a new biography of Nancy Pelosi coming out. And apparently this thing's authorized. She let the author talk to her, and she encouraged her friends and family to talk to the author as well. And from this book that's coming out at the end of the month, which I will neither be reading nor buying, Pelosi said she learned the art of politics from her father, former Baltimore Mayor Thomas D'Alessandro. And she said, "What I learned from my father was everything. I breathed it in. Politics is every minute of every day. It is part of you." Isn't that the problem right there?
Well, there's no arguing with that. I appreciate her honesty. And when you say this biography is authorized, for some reason I briefly misconstrued the meaning of that word, and I thought, oh, somebody wrote a biography and then Nancy read it and approved the parts that she liked. So she well, cleaned maybe. It up and yeah. Anyway, it is a profession. It's these days in the United States. So it's not something where a citizen is called from his plow and then goes and serves a term or two in various public offices and then returns to his plow, as we idealize from Washington's, you know, example. It's a profession that has a certain very particular set of skills acquired over a long period of time that requires people to be like Nancy Pelosi. And whatever you think of her ideology, she has certainly triumphed in the profession of politics. I don't think anybody has done it better in recent memory. She's managed to hold onto her seat. She's managed to, in her district, she's managed to hold onto her power in her party. She's managed to hold sway over several presidential administrations and really command with an iron fist that little group of people who thought they were just going to Washington to do something good for their district. My understanding, having talked to a few Congress people over the years, is the slavish loyalty that is due to the leaders of your party is stunning. And the amount of time that you must spend raising money, not raising money for your campaign, raising money for the party. And that person who's in charge of the party is just cracking the whip over you all the time. And if you earn that person's disfavor in some way, you're going to lose your plum committee position and you're going to be banished to the back bench for all of eternity. That's what's wrong, I think, with these legislative bodies. I would love to see term limits for leaders of political parties in Congress, in the Senate and in the House, if only just to churn through some fresh blood and to keep that that building of the pyramid of power from happening to the benefit of one person and the detriment of the rest of us.
Yeah,
there are many sons and nephews that need to come into politics as well, and that's the nice thing about term limits is it allows the sons and the nephews and the brothers-in-law and so on to finally have their moment in the sun.
Oh, all that talent. Well, all that not talent getting wasted away. I just had an idea. Let's let the rest of the country go free and lock down Congress. That sounds pretty good to me. Bill, let's go to you. San Francisco lost the most residents of any major city in the United States over the last 2 years, and the numbers going to Florida and Texas increased dramatically. Are you nervous for the future of Texas and Florida?
I'm terrified.
Yeah.
I really am. Yeah. This scares me. This scares me more than anything in this country. It scares me more than anything. They simply should not be allowed. They should not be allowed to leave San Francisco or California. They should be forced to live with the consequences of the votes that they gave. But no, they're gonna abandon the needle and feces strewn streets of San Francisco, and then go and vote for policies that will have needles and feces strewn throughout the streets of Fort Lauderdale and Dallas. And is it any wonder that when you say you're from California and you go to any other state in the union, people look at you as you just basically got your Ebola bell around your neck? I don't blame them one little bit. I've said before, and I've said it again, I'm serious as I can be. I think that it ought to be a requirement that if you move from one state to another, you lose the right to vote for the rest of your life. And then you would have some sense of protecting the country that is smart and healthy from the part of the country that is diseased and insane. And as a person who would be making that move from the diseased and insane part of the country to the logical and healthy part of the country, I think that is a very small thing to ask of me in order to protect themselves from the fact that I live in this place. And this, it's just quarantine, Steve. It's a simple thing. This is hundreds, if not thousands, of years old. If you've got people that have a sickness and they're coming to your place, you need to put them someplace away from you for a while until they either die of the sickness or they recover, one or the other, at which point you can admit them into society. And this mental illness of progressivism is spreading because there's no quarantine methods. You get to completely destroy the most beautiful city in the world, and then go someplace else and destroy that place too.
I grew up in St. Louis, and I knew from the age of 11 that I wanted to live in Colorado. I wanted to live on the Front Range. I fell in love with Pikes Peak the first time I saw it. But I did take a 6-year detour through Northern California before I finally made it here many years ago. And when I moved here, it was from San Francisco, but I would tell people that I'd actually moved here from Oregon to get away from all the Californians that were invading Oregon. And that way, instead of hating me, people would actually show me a little pity. These days with everything.
Correct. If I were to move to Texas, I'd have to go through decompression. I'd have to move to Nevada for a year or two, get Nevada plates that just barely tolerate that. And then from Nevada, I'd probably have to go to Utah, then Utah to Oklahoma, and then Oklahoma to Texas, and just decompress. So that I had a reliable trail that did not point back to this state.
I will tell you, there's exactly. Two good things, Stephen, because I work in retail in Texas, and two good things. First of all, a lot of the Californians who are moving to Texas are not on board with what happened to California. So, we tend to think of California as a blue state, like there are no Republican conservatives there. In fact, they're not enough to get people elected there, but there's still a bunch of them there. So that's good. And number two, I always think it's charming when I'm talking to a customer who just moved here from California, and she just got done closing on her new house, her 3,200 square foot house in Texas. And she mentions that it was $400,000 or $450,000. And she snickers like a little child who just stole some candy, like she's done something wrong. Like, I just got a 3,200 square foot house for $450,000. Like, it's almost like a punchline to her having come from California. It's just unimaginable.
Even 20 years ago when I went back to Florida and I saw real estate prices, I looked around and I said, my God, these idiots have left the digit off.
Right. The crappy little studio apartment I was renting in San Francisco, second worst neighborhood in that city. I was living in the Tenderloin, the 900 block of Geary, if you know the city at all. And that apartment was costing me, I think it was $400 a month back in the first half of the 90s. And last I checked, it was going for, I think, $3,500 a month. And the city's gotten worse since then, not better. All right.
Lovely view of the fecal fields out off the window there. It's the kind of thing you have to pay top dollar for.
It's a fertile land. Yeah.
All right. Last headlines for me. Google shadow ban searches for riots today following unrest in Minnesota. I can't remember. I forgot to jot this down in my notes. I can't remember who did this, but it's a great screen cap. You can actually find this on today's Insanity Wrap at pjmedia.com. A screen cap of DuckDuckGo search results for riots today. And it was all the stuff in Minneapolis and in Brooklyn Center. And you go to Google search for riots today, and it's a bunch of old news that has nothing to do with the United States. So I got the idea, well, what if I search for protests today? And sure enough, all the stuff from Brooklyn Center is showing right up in Google search. So this is a shadow ban. Google isn't in the search business anymore. They are in the maintain or establish the narrative business. This time, the narrative is that these violent riots are actually peaceful protests, and their search results indicate that, because you can't find a riot by searching for riots. So keep that in mind if you're using Google, that that's not their job anymore to give you the best search results. And there's a serious thing to this. We cover sensitive topics on this show, and we try to give you the best, our most heartfelt, our most thoughtful angles on these sensitive issues. And because of that, YouTube, which is owned by Google's parent company, has absolutely been squashing our traffic, killing our notifications, and it hurts. Membership at BillWhittle.com, I don't think, has ever been more important. So if you enjoy these shows, please consider clicking over to BillWhittle.com and becoming a member, making a one-time donation, because they are doing their best with this narrative establishment to snuff out any dissent. And a country can't function like that. Thanks so much for your support. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you next time.